Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. It's only been a few weeks since the victors in the 2020 election took office, but action in the 2022 election is already well underway. Here in North Carolina, candidates of both major parties are already lining up to compete for retiring U.S. Senator Richard Burr's seat, a contest that's sure to be impacted by Burr's vote to convict former President Donald Trump in his recent impeachment trial. Earlier this week, I caught up with one of the keenest observers of the North Carolina politics scene, Catawba College political science professor Michael Bitzer. And as Bitzer told me, while there are a lot of uncertainties in these tumultuous times, one thing that's increasingly clear is that loyalists to Trump are now in complete control of the North Carolina Republican Party. Well, Dr. Michael Bitzer, welcome back to News and Views. So good to have you back with us.
Always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for the invitation.
We're now a few months past the election, a month into the Biden presidency. Time to start talking about the 2022 election. No, seriously. I mean, the fallout from the impeachment, from the insurrection, Senator Burr's vote to convict President Trump in his second impeachment trial. Obviously, we're already seeing some of the fallout here in North Carolina as it impacts Republicans, impacts perhaps the future of the Republican Party in our state.
Very much so. I mean, I always teach in campaigns and elections, as soon as the results and the winner is declared in the last election, we start the next election cycle. And so talking about 2022 is nothing out of the ordinary for those of us that really study this. But I think the dynamics within the Republican Party are very much going to paint the picture of what the modern Republican Party is. And right now, I have to differentiate between the party of Trump and the party of everybody else. And the way that I look at political parties, I think the Trump faction controls the party and the electorate, particularly among primary voters. I think it really has solidified its control among the party activist, the party as an organization. And now what we're battling is kind of the party in government, those folks who are elected. And are they Trump loyalist or are they willing to buck against the former president? And I think 2022 in this state, maybe even in a state like Georgia, is really going to be indicative of that battle within the Republican Party.
Yeah, you know, we've seen some of these stories about Trump loyalists exploring creating a Patriot Party or something like that. But it's at this point, it seems kind of absurd since, as you say, they control the Republican Party. What do they need to start a new party for?
Exactly. I think the party that is looking for a home is the wing of the non-Trumpist in the Republican Party. I just think that the domination, what we saw with Senator Burr's rebuke by the North Carolina Republican Party, some county parties saying, don't even think about coming to our headquarters. To me, that sends the signal that indeed the Trump loyalists have control of the organization. Why would they branch out and have all the problems of a third party dynamic when they control one of the two major parties?
Right. And meanwhile, the Bob Orrs of the world, Bob Orr, a former North Carolina Supreme Court justice, a prominent Republican who's made no bones about his disgust with Trump, who actually has now resigned from the party. One wonders whether there really is a place for those, shall we say, traditional conservatives, but who don't share in the Trump ideology. Is there really even a home for them at this point?
It's hard for me to imagine what that is. I mean, I can see certainly they're not going to support a renomination of Donald Trump, but are there some Republicans down the ballot who have not tied themselves to the Trump wing? I think that that dynamic is becoming harder and harder. And again, 2022 is going to give us a real good indicator of that. But I think the fascinating study right now is not necessarily among Trump Republicans. It's among non-Trump Republicans. And where do they go? They are a minority within the party right now. And I have to think, you know, are they just willing to stay home? Are they willing to cross their traditional historic party lines and vote for a Democrat who may be closer to the center, to avoid having to vote for a Trump Republican? you know, I think that that's the fascinating dynamic that I'm interested in learning more about.
We suspect that this will play out perhaps most visibly in the 2022 race for the Republican nomination to succeed Senator Burr, who has announced his retirement. And we already have, obviously, a number of people who have either declared their candidacy or appear to be on the verge of it. Former Congressman Mark Walker's already out. I saw him speaking to a maskless Republican Party confab on the Crystal Coast over the past week. Lara Trump, Trump's daughter-in-law, former Governor Pat McCrory, Congressman Ted Budd, Republican Party Chair Michael Whatley. I guess that Mark Meadows, who had been mentioned, is out. It seems that some of these people probably weren't originally Trump loyalists, but it's hard to imagine any of them maybe bucking the Trump machine when it gets down to brass tacks.
And I think the brass tacks are really the primary voters. They are the most engaged. From what we know about the research on them, they are the most engaged, and they are oftentimes the most ideological. Mm-hmm. And in my read of the dynamics, what that ideology now is centered around Trump. So I think all of those Republican candidates are going to be fighting for that kind of Trump dynamic within a primary electorate for the Republican Party. And whether she chooses to get in or not, I think Laura Trump is a force to be reckoned with. I have to think that Donald was not happy with Burr's vote. And if he's out for revenge, the person that he can persuade the most is his daughter-in-law to get in and to capture that kind of a seat. How that dynamic plays out in the long run, I just don't know. But there are some opportunities, shall we say, this early out for former President Trump to really have an influence within that party's primary.
I feel like I'm watching a soap opera of some kind as we consider this. It sort of raises the question of what's the fight going to be over? Now, we have an array of Democrats who've also announced or sort of seem to be in the possible penumbra of candidates. We have Senator Jeff Jackson from Mecklenburg County, Senator Erica Smith. We've even heard talk of former Chief Justice Sherry Beasley, maybe even current Supreme Court Justice Anita Earls. One wonders, first of all, how that would break down on the Democratic side. And then whoever the two nominees that emerge, it's like, what is it that they're actually arguing over? Is it just the legacy of Trump, or are there substantive issues that you would think that might divide these people?
Yeah, I think on the Democratic side, it's going to be just as fascinating to watch unfold as on the Republican side. You know, I think for particularly Southern Democrats, looking to what happened in Georgia really kind of reshuffles the dynamics of what is the potential for a Democrat in a Southern state that is indeed as competitive as Georgia was and as North Carolina tends to be. I tend to lump North Carolina in the, it's a battleground state, but not really a swing state because it's kind of stuck. It's stuck at a 51-49 dynamic, typically favoring Republicans. But if Democrats choose to look back at Georgia's dynamics and see how that plays out, it becomes a real battle over, do you go with the traditional moderate centrist Democrat, the kind of Roy Cooper-like Jim Hunt legacy kind of Democrat, or do you pursue the Stacey Abrams approach of going outside that norm? I think that that dynamic is really the one that I'm going to be paying very close attention to.
It's just a remarkable, remarkable time. We're talking to Professor Michael Bitzer, one of North Carolina's preeminent political scientists, about the current state of affairs in North Carolina and American politics. One issue that I was struck by in hearing as we look forward to future elections is sort of the future in 2024. The Democrats, there's talk now that perhaps there will be a switch in the way we run primaries. They're now talking about the fact that perhaps Iowa, New Hampshire, these very white sort of monochromatic states that don't really reflect the Democratic Party of the 21st century. Maybe there will be a move afoot to move some other states further forward in the primary process. It's at some point, perhaps they're going to start having primaries 2 years ahead of time, but we'll just keep leapfrogging each other. But I wonder if North Carolina or other southern states might be candidates to be moved up in the rotation as a state that might be viewed as more representative of the Democratic voter base.
Yeah, I have to watch those dynamics play out as well. I think the natural candidate for the first in the nation is probably the state that claims the first in the South, and that's South Carolina. I think, you know, certainly what we saw in 2020 with Joe Biden and the influence of African American voters in the primary really does make a testimony to the base of the Democratic Party. The problem, not so much with Iowa, because I think that their legacy of what happened in 2020 is kind of well known, but the real challenge is going to be New Hampshire because of the dynamic of they can set their primary whenever they want.
Right.
And by state law, they're allowed to move it whenever they want. And unless there's a penalty imposed by the National Democrats over New Hampshire, which could cause a lot of hurt feelings in that kind of a swing state, you know, intra-party politics is going to be, you know, another dynamic to kind of watch big scale. Whether all this plays out in North Carolina or South Carolina gets consideration for moving up, I think will be something that could have a lot of influence on 2024.
Our time is going so quickly. I have a million questions I'd like to ask you. I guess one last question you may have some thoughts on. It occurs to me that one ongoing controversy in North Carolina concerns the new congressman from Western North Carolina, Madison Cawthorn, who seemed to just put his foot in his mouth repeatedly, although perhaps has started to maybe walk things back a little bit more than, say, Marjorie Greene in Georgia.
Yeah.
Do you think it's likely that obviously the Democrats will run someone against him. Is there any chance that he could face a primary opponent? Is there any chance that he's vulnerable? Or is this, because redistricting could play a role in that as well, ultimately. But what are your thoughts on Congressman Cawthorn?
Yeah, I think all of the above, particularly the impact of redistricting. I think the 11th will be as consistent in its form. It probably will get some counties potentially shaved off because of the population dynamic, but that's just an early guess. We don't know what those numbers are going to look like. I think the dynamic of if Representative Cawthorn continues to be more focused on what I would call communication strategy than rather necessarily policy strategy, I think he could get a primary challenge within the district, within the Republican Party. It's hard to defeat a sitting incumbent, but usually the first term sitting incumbent is the most vulnerable within a party. I mean, think back to Robert Pittenger and Mark Harris and that dynamic that played out. So I think certainly Democrats are going to try and make that another contested congressional election. Whether things are in their favor, I'm kind of doubtful because that region outside of Buncombe has gone even more Republican. But we'll just have to wait and see what 2 years brings.
Seems safe to assume that the name Donald Trump will be mentioned at some point during those campaigns.
I think Donald Trump is going to be mentioned for at least the next 3 years, if not longer.
Well, we'll be paying close attention. We sure do thank you for your insightful analysis. Please keep up the good work. If people want to follow you on Twitter, they can check you out, right?
Yes, at Bowtie Politics. And also, I manage a blog, OldNorthStatePolitics.com.
Dr. Michael Bitzer, again, thanks so much. We'll talk again soon.
Good to talk to you, Rob.
Coming up next, the latest on the pandemic and a step that all of us should take to stay safe. Don't go away.